You know what I think that is? I think it's precious. I think that's highly valuable. I think that's something of great worth, that the blood of Christ did that for me, the guilty one.
The Bible teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us clean from the stain of sin. But what else does the blood do for those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus? Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and this is the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. In today's study, we'll see that on top of the forgiveness of sin, the shedding of Christ's blood for you and me on the cross of Calvary provides far more than our finite minds can comprehend. So let's get started with today's message right here on the Truth Pulpit.
So justification, redemption, reconciliation. Fourthly, we find this wonderful term, forgiveness. This wonderful term, forgiveness. And these terms overlap in their significance, but it gives us great clarity when we study the different aspects distinctly. Forgiveness is a term that means that God has pardoned our sins. Forgiveness means that God has pardoned our sins. What does that mean? I always like to reduce it to things that are simple enough for a child to understand when I talk about this. Forgiveness means that God no longer holds our sins against us. Our account is clean before Him. He does not hold our sins against us. Our account is clean before Him. And instead of viewing us in the perspective of our sins, He views us instead in light of the righteousness of Christ. He views us in light of the precious blood of Christ shed on our behalf. Look over at the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 22, it says, according to the law, one may almost say that all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's a negative way of stating it. Well, what is the positive side of saying it? What is the positive way to express the nature of forgiveness? We read on in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. He says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. In other words, nothing more needs to be done. It is an abominable fiction that the Roman Catholic Church practices when they pretend to re-sacrifice Christ at every Mass that they celebrate. No, there's one sacrifice of Christ. His blood is so precious that one time it was shed, and that was sufficient to forgive all of the sins of everyone who would ever believe in Him. You rob the cross of its preciousness when you practice such fictions. That's why Catholics have to come out of the Catholic Church if they are to truly believe in Christ. You believe in Christ and He will lead you out of the Catholic Church, because the core of what salvation is contrary to what they teach and practice. You cannot reconcile the two. And if you take away the Mass from Catholic theology, the whole stinking system collapses. In part, it collapses because it cannot offer anything like the precious blood of Christ. So we keep reading in Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. He had just been talking about forgiveness. He had just been saying that God will remember our sins and lawless deeds no more. And he says, what purchases that forgiveness for us and gives us a boldness to go into the presence of God is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Forgiveness, beloved, means that all of your sins have been pardoned and God no longer holds them against you. What that means is that you are now free to enter into the presence of God with boldness, with confidence, knowing that he receives you well, he welcomes you completely, and that he is not going to raise up against you your sins as a reason that you are separated from him. No, the separation was removed. There is reconciliation. There is forgiveness. There is redemption. There is justification. And if this is God's perspective on you as you approach him, then there is no barrier to fellowship with him at all. You know what I think that is? I think it's precious. I think that's highly valuable. I think that's something of great worth, that the blood of Christ did that for me, the guilty one. Guilty objectively before God, and the blood of Christ sufficient to cleanse my guilty conscience from all of my sins, knowing that God has cleansed me, God accepts me, and beloved, that's not just for me, that's for everyone like you who has believed in Christ. And those of you that have not and are resisting the Spirit, that are objecting to the Spirit of God, you're like the kid standing outside a candy store with your nose pressed against the window, and all of that goodness is separated to you by your own unbelief. God brought you here today, if that's you. God brought you here today that he promises pardon to everyone who comes to him in repentant faith to his son. It says, I've heard of your precious blood shed for sinners like me. Take me. Save me like I've heard spoken of from your word. And the door to all of those spiritual riches are open to you, freely, gladly, by the hand of a loving God, freely, gladly, by the nail-pierced hands of a loving Savior who came to save sinners just like you. My friends, if you walk out with no other thought today than this, it should be that that shed blood of Christ is precious, it's valuable, it's of great worth. And that's why we speak of him in sacred tones. That's why we speak of him in holy terms. That's why we reverence him. That's why we lift him up. Is he is worthy, and his blood is worthy, and his blood has accomplished so much on our behalf. And it's why we never make it a matter of jesting or humor or crude jokes. And even more, why we would never let his name pass through our lips in a profane way. It's too precious. It's too sacred. It is set apart to be honored with the deepest part of who we are. It's that valuable. It reorients your heart to the entire way that you think about Christ, the way that you think about yourself, and the way that you speak about him, and the way that you treasure him and worship him. It's so precious that it captivates all of the highest and deepest affections of your heart. That's what it means to be a Christian. You trust Christ like that, and you view him with that kind of love and reverence. And if you don't think that way about Christ, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. You need to do some business with God in prayer because this is precious. You kidding me? Justification, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness? And you say there's three more to go, you're not done yet? Then this is incalculably valuable. This is incalculably great. Yeah, that's it. That's the point. It's precious. Number five, holiness. Holiness. This is a term that can have two different meanings in biblical usage. We're using it in this sense. Holiness in this context means that God has set us apart for himself. He has set us apart for himself. The Old Testament would talk about holy utensils that are used in the temple, in the tabernacle. Well, they're not holy because they're morally pure. They're physical objects. They have no moral account. Rather, what it means is these have been set aside for use in the presence of God. Well, when it comes to us, God has set us apart as believers for himself. And this vile, contemptible world into which we were born, this vile, contemptible world that is at hostility with God and manifests its utter depravity in ever-increasing ways, it seems like it accelerates from month to month. We have been set apart from that world unto Christ himself. We no longer belong to this world. Rather, we belong to Christ himself. And beloved, being so wonderfully delivered from the world, being set apart from it even while we live in it, well, what is it that made that possible? What is it that sets us apart? Scripture teaches us that it is, you getting the theme here? It is the precious blood of Christ that has done that for us. It is the precious blood of Christ which confers that holy position upon us. You should still be in the book of Hebrews. Turn to chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood. Sanctify, holy, to set them apart, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. You see the separation, the imagery of separation? You're going out to Christ. You're leaving one realm behind and going to Christ. And what did that for you was the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Yeah, we're walking through this world and we live in it, but it's not our home. It's not our destination. It's not our source. It's not our origin. Our origin as believers was found in God's pre-eternal purpose when he elected us to this marvelous salvation before the beginning of time. And the blood of Christ makes that real in our experience when the Spirit gives us new life. Holiness. We're set apart by the blood of Christ. That's precious. That's highly valuable. Sixthly, purification. Purification. One of the ugly aspects about sin is the way that it defiles us. It makes us unclean. It makes us dirty. And those who are not in Christ, that's their condition. It's a condition of uncleanness. Yet even for the believer, when we stumble into sin, there's a defiling effect that it has on us. We feel it in our minds. We feel it in our conscience. You feel it when you feel reluctant to open your Bible because you're conscious of what you've done, what you've thought, what you've said. How could God receive me? You're conscious of that. Well, what Scripture tells us is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of that unrighteousness, all of that defilement. It makes us clean. It purifies us. And the Apostle John made this point very clear in his first epistle. Turn to 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 1. Here he is speaking to Christians. And while our sin does not reverse the verdict of justification that God has previously rendered on our behalf, it doesn't reverse our redemption, there is this defiling sense. David prayed in Psalm 51, "Purify me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me so that I'll be whiter than snow." He wanted his inner man to be renewed with a sense of the cleansing that comes from being right with God. And what John is saying in this first chapter is that believers have a source of cleansing, of washing, of purification that comes. And where does it come from? What is the basis of it? It's the precious blood of Christ. Verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The underlying original grammar there has a picture of a lifestyle of confession, a repeated pattern that when you sin, you confess it to God. You don't hide it. You don't cover it up. You go to Him and you make it plain. You agree with Him. "Lord, what I've done, what I've said, what I've thought was wrong, was sinful, and I ask You to forgive me." Well, understand that the cleansing that flows from that has an operating agent found in the precious blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ that is the basis upon which God can cleanse you, renew forgiveness with you, and the blood of Christ has that satisfying impact on your conscience so that your conscience can be made clean and you no longer are bound by those feelings of guilt. Because you understand that your guilt has been addressed permanently, perfectly, in an ongoing way by the shed precious blood of Jesus. And I think that when you stumble into sin as a Christian, and you feel the remorse over that, I think that the agent that allows you to confess and you can walk away with a sense of restoration and renewal and a restoration of subjective peace in your heart. I think that whatever would allow that to happen in your heart and in your spiritual life, whatever allows that to happen, whatever makes that operative, it must be something of great worth. It must be something precious. And it is. It's the precious blood of Christ. All of these benefits to us. One last one. I got ahead of myself and used this term before. Number 7, sanctification. Sanctification. Here we're using the term sanctification in this sense. It means that spiritual growth, that progressive spiritual growth over time, an ongoing expansion of the separation from sin in your life toward the pursuit of practical righteousness. Not perfect in this life. Sanctification is not perfect in this life, in this sense. But there is a growth in grace. There is a growth in righteousness. Sin becomes increasingly distasteful to you. Maybe at the start of your Christian life, there was still an attraction to sin. But as you go on, it starts to dawn on you as the sun rises in the morning. It starts to rise in your heart and understanding that what I used to love, I hate. I don't want that anymore. I want to live righteously instead. Sin doesn't hold the same attraction to me. That's the sense in which we're talking about sanctification. And I understand by sad personal experience that it may seem at times like your sanctification is just an elusive dream because of your remaining corruption and the besetting sins that you deal with that come back and bite you again and again. I was out mowing yesterday and the cicadas in my face, just so repulsive, swatting it away. And our remaining corruption and sin like that. This again, swatting it away. Understand, beloved, that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives you power and gives you ultimate victory over all of that and guarantees the ultimate victory even in the midst of the series of stumbles that you go through. Look at the book of Revelation. This is a nice place to end up. You end up in the last book of the Bible here. Revelation chapter 1. John says in verse 4, "Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood." By His blood. Chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 14. He says, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And finally, chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. Speaking of the way that believers overcome the great accuser. Verse 11, "They overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, what the blood of Christ has done for us is remarkable. It is precious. It is of exceedingly great worth. It is of infinite value. Justification, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness, holiness, purification, sanctification. What the blood of Christ has done for us is precious. It is that precious blood that is the basis of the totality of everything that we hold dear and everything upon which our eternal hope and rest depends upon. Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? He is received by grace through faith alone, and it is in Christ alone. And His blood that makes that offer of salvation possible is precious, and it's sufficient.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Father's one and only provision for eternal salvation. Well, friend, if you'd like to hear this message or any in this series again, or you'd like to share it with a friend or loved one, just go to thetruthpulpit.com and look for The Precious Blood. While you're there, be sure to check out all of Don's Bible study materials. Now, if you'd like to hear and see more from Don, here he is to tell you how.
My friend, if you enjoy these broadcasts, I am sure that you would enjoy the live stream of our church services from Truth Community Church. We meet Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. You'll find the live stream link prominently displayed at the top of our website, thetruthpulpit.com. And you know, if you do join us like that, drop us a note at the website to let us know. Even your brief note helps us know that our resources are reaching friends who want to grow in God's Word. Thank you, and may Christ be with you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll be able to join us for our live service at thetruthpulpit.com, and that you'll invite others to do the same. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Bill Wright. We'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.